Welcome to the fresh and vibrant airwaves of the Pride and Promotion Podcast. Strap in and turn up the volume because you've landed on the podcast that's setting the bar for the most dynamic and inclusive marketing conversations. Join your host, Joseph Federico, as he prepares to dive into the world of marketing with an inclusive twist where we spotlight the LGBT community and celebrate the power of diversity. Get ready to be motivated as we bring in some of the most influential LGBT entrepreneurs and marketing trailblazers who are reshaping the...
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Pride and Promotion Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Federico, and today we have a very special guest, Kevin Moran of Safe House Wellness. Kevin, thank you so much for joining today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Good. You know, we were just chatting, you know, behind stage in the green room and just, you know, we've known each other a long time, you know, going on several years at this point, you know, and it's funny how the tables have turned. I want to call that out too in a very positive way, in a very prideful manner, when originally, because, you know, I've grown all these years when we're talking about my past at MSNBC, and how all these things come flooding back when I'm recording this podcast and being, you know, trying to assure that we have a transparent conversation with you, but with all my guests and the viewers and readers, so forth and so on. But originally, you were my client when it came to social media marketing when you were just kind of starting off. So mm-hmm. I'd like to kind of dig into that a little bit. We have, you know, about 40 minutes or so today, a great conversation. We can always have you back, but tell me, you know, from your perspective, how we met. And, you know, what marketing means to you as far as being LGBT and growing your business?
Yeah. Ooh, great question. So when we met, like you said, I was very much just getting started with my business and my coaching practice and trying to figure out just what the heck I was doing. Getting started with my own business from the get-go was a goal that I had, but like way down the line, like, you know, later on in my career, but just the way that the tides turned, it just fell into my lap much more quickly than I anticipated, which I was excited about. But I also was like, I don't know what to do here. And one of the things that I quickly learned that I personally have challenges with, and I learned this kind of from the start, was the marketing aspect, especially within the work that I do. So, you know, focusing on mental health and mental wellness, and with the approach that I take, I've started to feel this incongruence, almost like on a deep, like values level when it came to marketing, where, marketing and trying to like elicit, you know, clients and trying to, you know, come at things from that business standpoint felt very inorganic, to the work that I was doing of genuinely showing up to be there to support and to help people. And so I had a really difficult time of wrestling and balancing those two from the beginning. And so social media, I just got lost there. And so, yeah, I reached out, you know, we got connected and that's where, you know, your help became super helpful in just, you know, kind of showing me and teaching me different ways to go about it, how to like ethically align the two. And then also how to kind of craft and navigate my own viewpoint, my own voice, my own perspective through that too.
Yeah. Which is so important. Even, you know, just growing a business, starting on social media, thinking about where to begin. So where was your mind when we first started, you know, interacting with each other? I know it took maybe a little bit longer than most, but we're still talking. We've become friends all these quite literally years later, Kevin, which I'm so grateful for. So grateful for, you know, you showing me the ropes on how to become more prideful, how to respect, you know, my time and how to draw boundaries, right? So you becoming my client, me eventually becoming your client, drawing those boundaries, how do you feel now that you're really into it? You're doing an amazing job with your reels. You're showing yourself off at the gym, you know, you're getting behind the scenes on camera, interacting with new and potential and even past clients. How do you feel all these years later regarding, you know, in regards to how social media really helped you? at this point in the game.
Yeah. It does feel a lot better. And I think for me, like, one of those big pieces that it just comes back down to is like the authenticity piece, where before I share or post anything, like I genuinely ask myself, like, number one, like, will this be helpful? Like, could there be somebody out there who could benefit from this? And then, like, number two, like, is this aligned with, like, who I am? And kind of even, like, one step further of, like, what's my reason for sharing this? What's my goal here? What's my intention? So just doing that bit of, like, mindfulness check has been incredibly helpful for me from, in starting that, where I can kind of catch myself in different moments where, you know, if I start to feel, that I'm posting or sharing things in ways that might not be super aligned with my values or my heart or like the direction that I want to take, I can kind of check in and be like, hey, what's going on here? And kind of like ground myself in that process. And yeah, you know, so it's been, oh my gosh, been what, four or five years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just feels sustainable now. I think that's the best way to describe it, where like it feels smooth, it just feels like aligned and connected. It feels pretty good.
You know, it really has to feel aligned and connected, especially as a business owner. So let me ask you this, and I know, but I would like the audience to understand more about you. Before you got into counseling and wellness, what was your dream job before starting your own business?
Ooh. way back when, when I was like a really young child, the first thing I wanted to be a roller coaster designer. Like that was like my ultimate dream goal. I grew up like an hour from a really well-known amusement park, and it was just where my family would go on vacations and things. It's like, that's what I wanted to do. I also grew up on a farm, and so I wanted to take over the family farm. That was a big dream of mine for a while as well. But then as I got a bit older and into middle school, high school, college, that's when I really started to struggle with my mental health. And so that time, you know, seeking counseling, seeking, you know, coaching support of my own, I found how beneficial that was for me and how, it saved my life in a lot of ways. And I was like, you know, this is kind of where my purpose falls. Like I want to help people in a very similar way. I don't want people to go through the feelings that I went through. And so, And so I didn't, like I said, didn't imagine starting a business or a practice of my own. I was trying to be like very, very intentional, very almost like, what's the word? Methodical. There we go. Uh-huh. Almost like methodical about it. And like okay, yeah. You know, when I'm well into my career, I'll do this then. A couple life moves happened, and I was like, well, crap, here we go. And so like, I was like, we're diving in, we're doing it now, but I'm super grateful for it. And it's a roller coaster of its own. It's an adventure, but it's a lot of fun at the same time. Stressful.
Yes. Right. Exactly. But I'm just thinking, you know, always thinking of the next or even from the past, pulling from nostalgia marketing, pulling from past games. And I don't want to date myself or age myself. I look very good. Thank you very much. However, a game came to mind from the 90s and early 2000s was called, I believe, Roller Coaster Tycoon. And I'm sure you've heard of it, you know, wanting to have gone into that profession. Uh-huh. Can you talk to me, you know, speaking of nostalgia and everything else, talk to me about, you know, what your thoughts are on nostalgia marketing, especially from the avenue in which you're coming from in your profession, and have you used it or utilized it in your own marketing campaigns?
Ooh, Ooh, that's a great question.
How about that for a question, Kevin?
Making me do some deep diving here.
That's what we're here for.
I don't think that I've tapped into like nostalgia marketing of my own. If anything, I feel like the closest that I get is, I do a bit of storytelling every now and then, like when it feels appropriate. And, you know, that kind of looks like sharing, you know, bits and pieces of my story and things that I've gone through. I don't think that's an area that I've explored too much with, but I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm really, really curious about it because it is really, interesting, but it's powerful too. Like even just as a consumer, like I've been seeing a bunch of those reels come through of like, it's like the 90s kids accounts and stuff like that. And it just like the snacks that were back then and like what the playgrounds used to look like. And like, those bring me to tears because I miss all of that. And so, yeah, like it's a powerful form. You got my mind spinning a little bit on like, in a good way of like how I can kind of like blend these two together. That's really interesting.
That's why we're here. That's what I do. That's one of the points of the podcast is to, you know, to get our guests and our listeners thinking more about, you know, how can they utilize different strategies that are not going anywhere in today's modern age, right? And only going forward, but really because of COVID-19, really quick, you know, just so you know, and our audience and our listeners know, nostalgia marketing has always been a very powerful tool, right? Back from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even up to today. COVID came along, right? We were all stuck in our homes, woe was me, and not understanding what was going on, really being maybe tighter with our wallets, right? So in a post-COVID world, consumers really wanted and now want to feel coddled, right? You said just now thinking about all the 90s accounts and 80s accounts on social media, namely Instagram, that are bringing back the old malls and pictures of the old McDonald's playhouses and, you know, the toys and the food, and you were brought to tears. I, as a social media marketing professional, need to be on those accounts to see what's trending, number one. But we want to feel coddled, right, as consumers, but as humans. What's the human element, right? And you understand this as a counselor. What brings you almost to tears? What makes you feel safe, right? What makes you want to go back in time, but maybe from a consumer perspective, spend money, right? What makes you feel okay? Think of the Igloo commercials even now. You know, they're trying to replicate what they were doing, you know, commercial-wise and advertising-wise in the 80s and 90s. So I understand you're now thinking more about the nostalgia marketing, you know, for your content to maybe draw on more people, maybe get to the heart of who you were as a kid, right? Or even a young adult in the past as a counselor to reach a wider audience. If you were to go back in time, or let's rephrase that, if you were to create a nostalgic marketing campaign tomorrow with your content, what would you replicate from the past? What would you wear? How would you formulate your content to reach a wider audience regarding this phenomenon called nostalgia marketing? And I'm totally putting you on the spot. I want to hear your thoughts.
What campaign would I do? That is a really great question. Yeah, I'm trying to like buy myself some time. I would definitely want to find a way to blend the worlds that I do. So you know, finding a way to still give people that sense of like mental support, emotional support, but also, yeah, like tapping back into those emotions a little bit. I think like one of the one of the filters that I take with my marketing is in knowing the work that I do can be pretty sensitive sometimes. It is extremely important to me that I am very ethical as possible in what I share. And to me, like, that looks like not preying on people's emotions in order to make a sale or mm-hmm. in order to get a client. Because sure. I went through some like business coaching programs of my own before, and that was one of the things that they just kind of hammered into the ground. And I remember, mm-hmm. you know, like they were talking about like this analogy of like sticking a knife in somebody's heart and like twisting it around, where like that's the goal wow. of the marketing. Yeah, it was really like quite like intense.
Very powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that program, I quit that in that moment. I was like, no, like this is not okay, especially for like the mental health world where, you know, like
no.
all of us are struggling in some capacity or another. And like to prey on that is just, you know, that's number one, just not a kind thing to do, but that's completely, it's just completely inappropriate at the same time. Like that does not align with me by any means. So I use sure. that filter and that reminder, like in my marketing approaches now of like, how will this post, how will this video, how will this, you know, the story that I share, how will this be a sense of support that isn't trying to evoke any emotion for any reason to benefit me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I say all that like in thinking of what this campaign would look like. And so I'd want to be very mindful of you know, like giving some space for that nostalgia to happen, but not doing so in a way where it's overly emotional to a point where like it leads to some distress for that person. And so what's honestly coming to mind, like the more that I think of it, like I'm thinking back to my own hometown and like the church that I used to go to, like the playground that I used to go to and things like that. And I think like a campaign that I could see myself doing would be like to share a bit of that, of like my own like nostalgic experiences with like some thought-provoking questions along the way that, you know, mm-hmm. kind of invite the person on the other side to explore their own experience or you know, think back to some of those moments that they're really grateful for, some moments that were really challenging but that they triumphed through, you know, things like that. So yeah, that was kind of what's coming to mind in a very roundabout way.
I am thinking two things for you now that we're talking and knowing your business, but even the before times when, you know, you were my client and you've evolved again so much since then with your own content. Two things come to mind. Maybe like an after school special, like the 80s and 90s, even the early 2000s, where you bring somebody, you know, telling your own journey on your path to becoming a, you know, a wellness coach. Mm-hmm. Think about that with your own, you know, hometown or even currently where you live. Slap a filter on it, you know, kind of maybe wear something kind of neon 90s, late 80s, early 90s, you know, clothing for that, evoking that emotion for yourself to be more transparent for drawing in your audience with your past clients, but also your current and future clients as well. Mm-hmm. That's something to maybe explore. Just throwing that out there. I don't know.
No, I like that. I like that a lot.
You know, yeah. And then maybe even like a voiceover and having certain clips or even creating a series of content with your campaign. That's a day in the life of Kevin from, and then you slap a date on it. You know what I mean? And bring people on a journey that way. But also knowing that you're into fitness and you're always at the gym, so forth, you know, and so on. Maybe something like the Olivia Newton-John throwback 80s gym attire yeah. to maybe focus on your, you know, fitness coaching. I don't know. Again, this is just where my mind goes, and we can talk about this for hours. So there's that.
Yeah, yeah, I love that a lot. I Yeah, I might have to play around with that. Thank you.
I look forward to seeing what you come up with. Because, again, with nostalgia marketing, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. And we could do a whole different episode on this as well, on the brands that are doing it right, in my opinion, and the brands that are doing it wrong, you know, or maybe can put some more work into it. But even with myself, even with going back several weeks, about going on a month ago, with my best friends, my gay group, to my old hometown, right, was a very emotional, evoking, as you say, not triggering, evoking, you know, kind of trip. And I didn't really necessarily, you know, mean for it to be, but being with the people in the car, listening to certain songs, going to my old haunts, showing my best friend and his fiance, you know, where I grew up, helped me, of course, maybe, you know, close a chapter of my life that I, you know, felt that I needed to, but also, you know, brought in so many ideas as a marketer in which I can use for future campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. So you never know with, you know, emotionally how you're going to react in those certain situations, speaking from experience, or what ideas you can bring forward and you know, turn that into a positive. So as a counselor, what do you feel about that and your teachings and your wellness coaching? You know, how do you help people evoke or extract emotions from their past in order to heal? Let's start with that.
Ooh, yeah.
Hardball, Kevin, hardball.
I know, like sweating over here.
Good, that's while you're on the Pride and Promotion podcast.
I think you are, you know, really spot on in recognizing like the power of those emotions and what they can do. I think like for, you know, for me personally, like I can recognize just how powerful that really can be. You know, like that notion of nostalgia, and just from an emotional intelligence standpoint itself, like that emotion of nostalgia is quite fascinating, where it can be one that can be quite helpful. It can also be so evocative that it can cause some distress, some distraught along the way too. So as a, you know, as a mental health provider, like I want to be mindful of that, of you know, kind of like walking that tightrope, walking that line of, you know, encouraging that self-exploration, but in a way that is doable, safe, respectful for that person. And also knowing too that like everybody's feelings toward nostalgia are probably totally different, because we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different experiences. For some of us, we might love to dip into that space of nostalgia, but for others, that might be absolutely terrifying. There might be a lot of trauma, a lot of pain connected to that too. And so I think like for me, that's why I'd want to kind of lead by example in that, of like, you know, like sharing like a bit of my story, or, you know, a bit of the experiences that I had, because then that kind of serves two purposes. Like it serves like as like a role model-esque approach, where like by me doing that process of my own, it kind of sets that as an example of like, this is one way that exploring nostalgia can look like and how it could be helpful and beneficial. But then number two, it also gives that, it gives an invitation for like the audience to do the same thing. But with that invitation, they have a choice. They can either choose to engage or to disengage if it's too hurtful or too painful. So it's not something that's being like slapped onto them. And so like, that's kind of like the approach that I think that I would take, which kind of like is diving into like the psychology world. Like that's a whole counseling, coaching, like theoretical approach of its own, is like that role model, we call it like role playing, where, and especially in the coaching world, like this is one of the benefits that it holds, is like through us sharing our own story, you know, like we provide that person an opportunity to connect, which then they can internalize it on their own, which is, you know, pretty cool.
Sure. That is such a powerful statement, first of all. Second of all, again, becoming nostalgic, working on, especially as marketers or, you know, business people, business professionals, that's a powerful tool. And one of our first guests had said on the first cast, you know, a while ago, utilize your resources, right? Look to yourself first, see what's out there in order to provide, but also turn the mirror on yourself, turn the mic camera on yourself, like we do in social media, but also as business owners. So let's get to the prideful part, you know, of the show, of your business. I know you are a coach for everyone, a wellness provider, but how did you get into the LGBT scene? You know, of course, being a part of that, you know, community yourself. Mm-hmm. And what do you do specifically in assisting people under the rainbow?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you hit it right on the head where being part of the, you know, LGBTQIA plus community myself, when certainly and understandably so, was a massive, if not the primary challenge that I had throughout childhood, throughout, you know, youth, adolescence, that led to my depression, anxiety, you know, all of my mental health challenges and the circumstances that I went through. And so
sure.
As I started receiving, you know, that support and that help that I was so grateful for, I knew that, like, this was a massive piece, the queer identity, you know, that was, you know, it was just like the backbone, the foundation, that everything else kind of laid upon. And
sure.
As I entered into, you know, the mental health world as a client, but then also, you know, as a professional too, you know, just realized, like, there is not a lot of support that is available for, you know, our queer family. And if so, it's very cookie cutter, or it tends to be very surface level. It's very, very difficult to find providers that actually meet the genuine real life lived experiences that we have and that can hold the space for the, you know, for that exploration to happen.
Sure.
And so, yeah, you know, falling into working within the LGBTQIA plus community, it kind of happened just very naturally, because, like, that's who I am, and I want to help people, you know, with similar experiences to my own, or, you know, similar struggles, because I understand that I can go to that same space emotionally and I can empathize, you know, without a doubt, even though knowing everybody's experience is different. Like, there's, you know, it's a very unique story that we hold. And then on the other side too, professionally seeing that, like, there is a really big need here for, you know, for additional support.
Sure. What does pride mean to you, Kevin?
Ooh.
That's pride. A tough one too, because I can answer that myself, but it takes some time. So, you know, being a counselor, being a part of the, you know, part of the community, what does pride specifically mean to you, deep down?
Mm-hmm. For me, I think, like, the word that I equate with it is, like, acceptance. And, like, I think I say acceptance instead of, like, celebration, or instead of, like, joy, because I know for a lot of people that might not actually be the case. You know, like, to reach a point of celebration might be really, really difficult. Or might be something that's years down the road. But if we can reach that point of acceptance to where we're at least at bare minimum, like, neutral with who we are, or, like, we're not fighting who we are, like, to me, that is an incredible win of its own. So when I think of pride, I think of that. I think of, like, acceptance, you know, of myself, of my experiences, of my past, of where I'm at now, of the things that I enjoy and the things that excite me and the things that I'm passionate about. You know, that ability to just embrace the allness of who I am, you know, the things I like, the things that are, you know, troublesome sometimes, but, you know, just being able to say like, yeah, this is who Kevin is.
That's also very powerful, not to blow smoke. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you this, sometimes it's hard to be prideful, right? Even in exposing yourself as a professional, getting yourself on camera for social media, you know, what does that mean? Can you, you know, as you, not you, but Gen Pop, be prideful even in, you know, trying to communicate with other, you know, members of the community? So here's another question for you regarding Pride, which is part of the Pride and Promotion of the podcast and the name. I mean, so much more to so many different people that are listening and beyond. Uh-huh. How or what would you recommend, you know, queer men specifically in growing their businesses or getting on social media? How can they celebrate their own pride in their businesses and in their personal lives?
Ooh, that's a really great question. As you were asking that, that kind of took me back to something my therapist said a little over a year ago, where in the session that we were having, I was talking about my business and, you know, some of the goals that I had and where I was struggling. I love her to pieces. She's amazing. Her name is Tamara, and I shout her out where I can go. I feel like a little like disciple of hers. But she's very just to the point, which I love. And she just reflected back to me. She's like, Kevin, like, just be proud of yourself. Like get loud about it for a little bit. And she's like, I know that's going to be really uncomfortable, but, you know, just do it, do something different. And that really kind of like struck a chord. And so I practiced that out a little bit. And I think like it is really difficult to express that pride, especially if we come from different backgrounds where maybe that could be seen as a form of arrogance or cockiness or disrespect, you know, so like we can fight through a lot of layers to do that. But as business owners, like we have to self-promote. It's one of the most uncomfortable things that we often do, but we have to be the biggest advocates for our business. Nobody else is going to be a bigger advocate than we are, you know, like, so we have to kind of set that tone. And something that was really helpful for me in kind of practicing, you know, her recommendation was to, you know, was for me to like go back to the facts. Because oftentimes like we tend to dismiss a lot of what we do, or we tend to like downplay the impact that we have. And so for me, it was really helpful just to like literally go back and see like, okay, this month I met with 90 clients, or this month I had like over 100 sessions. Yeah. Like that can't be argued. That's like, it just using your favorite phrase, it is what it is, you know.
Oh, you kill me. You know? Oh, so, like, in the heart.
even just sharing that feels uncomfortable. But when I flip it into that headspace of like, this is just an objective fact, this is something that happened, this is something that I did, I just so happened to be like the vessel that helped this to happen, then like,
yeah,
that was really helpful in giving me like that fuel to kind of share some of those things through. And then like the more that we do that too, then we're able to see like, oh yeah, like this isn't, it's not bragging, it's not being arrogant, it's not being cocky, but like we are, you know, genuinely helping people by the things that we do. And we're here to help people. We're here to make X, Y, and Z impact. And so people have to know about it. And in order for them to know about it, we have to communicate it. And here's how we can authentically communicate that in order to make that impact that we want to make. And you know, fulfill that purpose that we are here to do, you know?
That hit it on the head, fulfilling the purpose, right? Mm-hmm. When things get difficult, in my opinion, for instance, you know, maybe working through internalized homophobia, or, you know, knowing you have to become more prideful, you have to put yourself out there. You have to go forward with purpose. It means you need to grow, at least in my opinion, become more prideful, educate because of your pride, or working through your own insecurities in order to become more prideful, for instance, as a business owner or whoever you are underneath that spectrum of the rainbow. And that's just the most simplest form I can put it in. So we are about to wrap up. I would like you to share how people can get a hold of you, your website, your social medias across, you know, the interwebs, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, totally. So my name is Kevin Martin. I am a mental wellness coach. I do have a counseling and therapy background. Now I do more coaching. And so people can find me online at safehousewellness.com. House is spelled H-A-U-S, like the German way, but the Ode to Lady Gaga, so I had to throw that in there. Safehousewellness.com. Instagram as well, same thing, safehousewellness. Then I also wanted to share, so I have the business side, but then for clients who have difficulty affording sessions or might not be able to afford a sessions, I also started a nonprofit called Safe House Foundation to help pay for sessions for clients who can't afford. And so we seek donations from the community, from different businesses, all across the country. And this is a way that clients can still receive the support that they're needing, but also helps to remove a barrier for them too. So if you're interested in learning more about Safe House Foundation, it's safehousefoundation.org. Same on Instagram, Safe House Foundation there too. Again, H-A-U-S.
Kevin, thank you so much for being a beacon, for thank taking you. The time today, you know, on your office day to come on to the Pride and Promotion podcast. And everyone listening out there, focus on yourself. Focus on what makes you feel the best. Focus on yourself going forward with pride. Thank you for joining for another episode of the Pride and Promotion podcast. We'll talk soon. Take care, everybody.
And just like that, we're putting the finishing touches on another fabulous episode of the Pride and Promotion podcast. If today's conversation struck a chord, why not sing our praises with a quick rating and review on your podcast platform of choice? Your support is the spotlight that helps us shine and bring more folks into our ever-expanding audience. And don't forget to hit subscribe. Let's get social too. Follow us online for all the extra goodies, sneak peeks, and continued dialogue about marketing with pride and purpose. Tune in next time as we unfurl more colorful stories, champion the cause of inclusivity, and learn more from the creme de la creme of the industry. Until our paths cross again, keep pushing boundaries, stay true to yourself, and infuse every project with pride.